Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Yo, 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 it's the Fan Morning Show.
Yo, yo, yo.
I'm J.D. Bungus. Ailish Forfar.
Baby Friday.
For some.
It's Friday. For you.
For moi. Oh, yeah.
Another long weekend for J.D. Bungus. What else is new?
Can I tell you some, like, psycho stuff? I think this morning I'm learning that I have OCD.
Oh.
Or something. Just because seeing Thursday, August 4th at 6 a.m., like it is right now, seeing it like neatly tucked away.
You like that, eh?
Something about it. It's doing it for me. Like, I'm a fan of the number 4 in general. Like, it just turned 6:01. I'm over it. Like, but Thursday, August 4th, something nice, neat, and tidy about that.
It's my dad's birthday.
Happy birthday,
Greg.
Greg, great birthday, Greg. I would say if I could choose my birthday, this would be pretty top tier.
It's nice. It's like, you know, you're not fully at the end of summer. It's still, you have the hope that there's going to be, you know, 4 to 6 more weeks of beautiful weather. Mm. It's not also the disgusting part of, you know, early mid-July where you can't go outside. Actually, Yesterday was an extreme heat warning.
What are you talking about?
Humidity.
This is supposed to be the most disgusting stretch
of
the
summer. That's true. I forgot.
No, you lost it there.
Well, that's the number is nice. How about that?
No, August 4th, like, and it being a Thursday is just, that's a tight day, you know, like that is today is tight.
Send in your favorite numbers your favorite day of the year.
I don't know.
Looks good.
I just think Thursday, August 4th, so far, I'm going to declare this best day of the year.
All right.
Yeah, best day of the year, your dad's birthday. What'd you get your dad? Nothing, because he's your dad and you're a scumbag, and that's what all scumbags do with their dads.
I'm going
them
to
nothing.
Surprise him today in person. Oh, yeah. How about that?
Wow, we're going to ruin the surprise.
Well, he's not listening at 6:02, I hope.
You don't think he ever podcasts?
I'll be sleeping in. My dad does not know how to use his phone to get a podcast.
Your insecurity just ruined the surprise. It's fine.
He doesn't know how to use podcasts, so I think I'm good. He just catches it on his actual radio.
You're driving up?
No, I'm not going to drive all the way up there, but they're going to be down here and at their farm building a house at.
Wow. What a surprise. He's going to drive all the way to Toronto.
No, it's still 2 hours away.
And you will make your present.
It's still 2 hours
he'll
away.
Come, you're like, for his birthday.
Drive 4.5 hours from Sudbury.
You can come
and I'll
over.
See you.
Yeah.
No, it's a 2-hour trip from downtown Toronto.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it'll be raining.
Okay. It'll be raining. Oh, are you walking?
Adds to it.
is it going to be a tough walk for you? Okay, that's riddle. No, poor dads, honestly. Like, shout out all the dads.
What am I supposed to get them? Like, one of those, remember those retractive bits?
This is perpetuation.
Hey, send him what I should get my dad, actually.
Yeah, how about spend some money on dads, I would like to change the culture. I want to be at the forefront of this, all right? End the stigma. Hashtag end the stigma of dads saying they don't want gifts, all right? They want gifts. Everybody likes gifts. Who doesn't like a good, thoughtful gift? That's the thing, is that you get your mom something because the moms have been out there petitioning for this forever, you know? You don't get your mom something, the right thing, on a Mother's Day or a birthday.
Some nice cookware.
Nightmare.
Flowers.
The guilt is too...
Tea towels.
Tea towels.
I remember getting my dad, when I was younger, I remember going to Home Hardware with my mom. I must have been in elementary school. And getting him one of those retractibits. Do you remember those? It's like one screwdriver that has like 8 different like things that just you can like those pens that you.
Yeah, I mean, these are like also just known as a pretty common.
But it first came out retract a bit, and it was the coolest thing ever. I remember like my mom and like I had my allowance, and I went and I bought like my chore money, and I bought him a retractive it. I can visualize that.
And then you wiped, gifts.
I'm done.
And you wiped your hands. You did the old chop chop move on your palms.
It must have been like 10. Oh, yeah. It was funny.
And you were like, "That's cool. That's a lifetime." Yeah, you went. I got you a retractive bit. I want you to bring that up tonight.
I will.
Really be like, "Dad, you still got that retractive bit? That was pretty sweet, huh?"
Like 2002.
Yeah, you still got that? You still kicking around somewhere? He's like, "No, I don't."
It probably
don't
didn't work very well.
Yeah. Well, I was just gonna say, I feel like that's the. And I'm only saying this because I'm not a handy guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I feel like that's the non-handy guy screwdriver.
Oh, yeah. Like, He's like, I'm never going to use this.
Give me a Phillips, and you go, yeah, because you got real screwdrivers. You got each one all laid out.
It was the thought that counts, okay, JD? Yeah. It's a little nugget over here.
No, and your thought was, my dad's not a real man. he'll use a non-real man screwdriver. God. That's cool. That's pretty gutless, but yeah, whatever. So, yeah, it's either attack his manhood. Or get him nothing at all. I guess you're doing the better of the two. Okay, so yeah, it's the Fan Morning Show. Happy birthday to Ailish's dad. Let us know. Text in 590-590. What should Ailish get her dad? Again, I'm on team get your dad a gift. Be thoughtful for your dad's birthday. Father's Day, whatever. Like, all dads want, I think.
Whatever for Father's Day? It's his special day.
No, here's the thing. I think all dads actually just want to be.
Spend time with you?
No. Opposite.
They don't want anything. Leave me alone.
Let them sleep a little bit more if they want. Let them watch the golf. Just honestly, let them do their thing on Father's Day and then give them the tie or whatever garbage gift you're supposed to give on Father's Day. Because, yeah, Mother's Day is even a chore. You know, like Mother's Day, you go, oh, my
God.
You're
the bad guy now.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying it's a chore in terms of, like, I love my mom, because obviously I do. You know, I'm a huge mama's boy. Come on, you know this about me. Like, I'm spending big bucks every single year on my mom. Like, my brother and I just bought my mom a brand new couch for her birthday.
I thought you were going to say, like, car. You know,
it wasn't a cheap couch, all right? Like, we spend money on mom on Mother's Days and birthdays. Her last Mother's Day, we got her to golf clubs. Like, okay, so yes, she gets taken care of. What I mean in terms of chores is that you got to be thoughtful with moms twice a year, three times a year with gifts. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. Dad's just one time. Just one good gift a year. That doesn't seem over the top. They don't want anything for Christmas. They just want to get drunk. They just want to get blasted. Leave him alone for one day.
Make him drinks. Like, you go make some cocktails and that's
Bingo.
A win.
Just let him have a night where he gets bombed and nobody say anything, all right? No one's like, yeah, you're embarrassed. Just whatever. Let him have one of those. Father's Day, there's golf on. There's things going down. Let him go either play golf with his buddies or do his thing on his own. Just leave him alone. Let him sleep. Make him breakfast. Give him some good extra, like, nicer meals, you know? Up the meal count.
Buy some of that good bacon.
Yeah, exactly. Something thoughtful like that is all you need. Birthday, though, can we get one gift a year?
Can I just quickly tell you what we got him last year?
You did a lot of the we there. Like, you,
my brother and
you
I.
Signed the card.
You can ask Jordy.
Yeah, okay, I will.
We planned a surprise fishing trip in Manitoulin Island, and we went up there. We went into, like, big, like, deep lake fishing on a charter boat for a couple
days. Now we're talking. See, that's good.
And now how do I top that? We can't.
But did Jordy do it, or did
we both did it?
Whose idea?
Both of our ideas. Because
you both were sitting in a room, and your brother, and you went,
we were communicating about what to do.
It
was my dad's 70th birthday, so it was a big deal. So we wanted to make it special. So we were brainstorming what to do. We went up to Manitoulin Island. It was lovely. And we deep sea fishing. It was good. I can send you the photo.
That sounds awesome. Sounds awesome. That sounds really
great. We had a nice family couple days, because we never do that, and it was very lovely. So now I'm like, you're 71. I don't know what to get you.
Wow. Dark. Gifts are done.
Yeah.
Gifts are done. Okay. So what else? Blue Jays. Seems about the time to talk about this team. They lose. Who cares? No biggie. Gonna lose some games.
Yeah.
Offense no-showed. Adam Simber came in, and bang, bang, they go down a run. They can never recover. The good news is Kikuchi looked good again. And I tweeted about this, but I like it. I don't even care with Kikuchi if he just has a mow-down performance where he just everything's clicking and he looks awesome. I do, because obviously it shows that he can do it, I guess. But what he did in that start against the Rays is more important to me than him having a front-runner game. Mm-hmm. Because the first two innings, he was lights out. And then the third, he started to lose the plate a little bit.
He reeled
it in. He walked
some
batters. He hit somebody. Yep. He got a really tough break on one of his walks, mm-hmm. where there was a clear strikeout. He threw just a near perfect pitch. It grabbed a good chunk of the strike zone, and the umpire missed it. All right, it happens. But that happens every single start, right? There's no I've never seen one of those umpire scorecards that's 100%. So calls get missed. What do you do when that happens? How do you respond to those things? He worked himself out of a couple mm-hmm. of jams. He didn't go deep into a ball game. But I thought that's why the Jays went out and got old Mitch White, was to be his piggyback guy. Maybe that's why, you know, they added to this bullpen. They went out and got Anthony Bass. They went out and got Zach Pop because they wanted to have more arms in the bullpen for the likes of the Kikuchis of the world, the back-end starters. Back-end starter, Yusei Kikuchi, giving you that against a divisional rival that's in the playoff chase with you, you take that 10 million times out of 10 million. Kikuchi looked good. He battled. This is the thing I like about Manoa, is that Manoa doesn't really change when he runs into trouble. And that's one of my favorite things about the kid, is that it's just, it's almost like sometimes he puts runners on to give himself a different look. But when he does it, he doesn't change. He doesn't change who he is on the mound. And that's what I saw from Yusei Kikuchi yesterday. So that's a big positive.
Huge, because we questioned the fortitude at times when things were going poorly in previous outings. And it just, he looked uncomfortable, right? You could see the body language. It was alarming.
100% yips.
100% yips. You're right. He takes the time off. It looks like that is a positive in terms of feeling more comfortable in a spot that isn't great. Like, if he had fallen apart yesterday, then we'd be having, all right, has anything really changed? But no, I definitely agree. I think it was really strong to see him pull it together in a tough spot. So good. You broke kick confidence. How do I even say that? Kick confidence?
Confidence.
I like that. Kick confidence.
Yeah, I had more kick confidence in him, and he had some kick confidence going. I was fired up about it. They lost the game because the offense didn't have a good night, but it was kind of hard to not think about Adam Simber coming in, who's basically the face of not swing and miss because he's a ground ball pitcher, a contact pitcher, who came in and, yeah, concedes the game. And doesn't concede the game. Sorry, I shouldn't put it like that. But it was hard not to think about a couple of things yesterday. One is that Kikuchi's importance and him dealing like that is now more important. Because Jays can't afford to lose him or have him go back on a neck
literally nobody
strain,
left.
Whatever that was. Because immediately, hey, welcome to the team, Mitch White. They put you down in the minors. Maybe you were supposed to be this team's long man. Well, no, not anymore. Now you're the fifth starter.
See you this weekend, literally.
Yep, see you this weekend. Yusei Kikuchi, you better be good. Already the bullpen's pulled from the quote-unquote new Ross Stripling. It turns out you can only have one Ross Stripling at a time. That's you can only have one Ross.
The rules.
Yeah, one guy from the Dodgers is only allowed to be healthy on this team at one time, apparently right now. And that's you, Mitch White. Ross Stripling goes down, hits the IL with a glute / hip strain, which is something I think that I've had every single day.
I honestly, that's how I live my life.
Yeah.
As somebody that had hip surgery, it never goes away.
That's just, that's good. Hey, Ross, well, hey, no gifts for dads and gloomy projections
and
of
you
the
said
future.
August 4th is the best day. It's just going downhill quick.
Yeah, so Ross Stripling, who we had mentioned, hey, part of this deadline is that Ross is 32 years old and turning 33 this year. That's not ancient, but it's probably more likely that a guy gets hurt in his, you know, early to closer to mid, getting to mid-30s. I don't want us to do closer to mid. That's harsh to anybody who's 32. Sorry for that. Sorry for what I just said. I apologize. But for a guy who's almost 33 years old, who was sneaking up on his career innings pitched, mm-hmm. yeah, I'd say that there was a chance of this. So Ross Atkins spoke to the media yesterday, and he spoke to Tim and Friends, and he mentioned that they weren't sure that he was going to go on the IL at the deadline. I went, huh. But you, like, thought it was a good shot, right? Like, you thought...
But clearly you were considering that that could be a possibility, if you're even mentioning
yeah,
that.
It was pretty weird. I got to tell you, I, you know, our producer, Danielle, he's a man. He put everything down in... he put everything down in writing from an interview, and I always think that that's tougher to do. But so I went back and... You know, I watched Ross speaking, and I've looked over his stuff, and I think this guy knows he botched the deadline, or that I don't want to say botched, because they did do some things, but I think this guy knows that he didn't do enough at the deadline. And he just sounds like a guy to me that doth protest too much. And now, the way that he's going, where he goes, I'm sure there are a lot of fans, certainly in Canada, that know who Zach Pop is, and he's trying to do this thing, and then, yeah, I'm like, okay. Okay, man. We felt we accomplished our goal. There was a lot of talk about acquiring, we got Bass, and we did this. Okay, man. It's just... It's not just about additions, it's about subtractions. We feel we consolidated in and around our 40-man roster, made the team better. Okay, okay, dude. Okay. Okay. It was just... I just think Ross Atkins being defensive. When he said this, we didn't know for sure Ross would be going on the IL. We wanted a starter. Mitch White has been good when he started. We knew we wanted to acquire starting depth, and we did that. Like, okay.
Technically, that is correct.
You traded away the guy who was your six starter, and you got a different number six starter. Mm-hmm. And do I think Mitch White... is going to be better than Max Castillo? Damn, I hope so, because it wasn't exactly like there was a ton of confidence that Max Castillo was going to be able to fill that role. But, yeah, I would say this qualifies as a minor upgrade, and that with an injury, no one's sitting here today saying, wow, you know what, it's going to be okay. Thank God they went out and got Mitch White, because now they're dealing with an injury to a guy who's been one of their most important pitchers this season. Anyway, I like where the Jays are sitting in the standings right now. I think... even after last night's loss, that there's still three games up, right? Are they 2.5? Either way, they're in a place where I don't feel compelled to look at the standings every single night, because I know that they've got a decent little cushion right now over the Mariners, who just blasted Gerrit Cole.
He's on tick. I just saw a stat that he's like three consecutive games with home runs. He's like leading the league in terms of how bad that stat is. I know it's a terrible way of explaining it, but I'm looking up at the TV and I just saw, like, Gerrit Cole, worst.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Gerrit Cole. He stinks. He was a complete spider tack. No, but he spider tacked it up. There's no doubt about it. And he hasn't been as dominant without it, even though he was the runner-up for the Cy Young last year.
Confirmed Jays three games back with the wild card.
Yeah, so...
Plus three.
Just... They're still sitting pretty. They've got a bit of a cushion, mm-hmm. but... Yeah. I'm not going to pretend like Ross Stripling has not been immensely important to this team, and that Mitch White doesn't have big shoes to fill. And that, yeah, frankly, Ross Atkins' deadline is going to be tested right away.
And who's behind Mitch White?
Well, that's just it.
Like, I know. There's no name.
Guess why? There's nobody. If that doomsday scenario happened, mm-hmm. they would be in a whole heap of trouble, because I don't think that they know conclusively who it would be. I really think that they'd be dealing from a pile of options you don't want to see. And yeah, should this matter that much come playoff time? No, because Ross Stripling should be healthy. But it feels fine when you're three games up on the Mariners. It's going to feel less fine if you're one. And you lose two Mitch White starts in a row, or you see Kikuchi goes back to his old ways, or Jose Barrios starts to fall, you know, back into a lot of his old habits from this year. Anyway, so bummer of a day for the Jays. Just kind of no way around it. And what I thought was kind of just a little over the top, false Ross Atkins. The guy's been criticized many times before for not being overly genuine. And I thought that yesterday that was a bit of the case.
Well, one of the other comments that came out of that and confirmed was that the Blue Jays are truly leaving the Merrifield vaccination status up to him. Like, there was no, we've had conversations with him, like, which we kind of predicted that when he would join the team that they had said.
No, but you heard what Blair said about that yesterday with us, right?
True. But they went out and, like, kind of doubled down on that.
But there's a reason for that, right? Like, they're not going to
tread into those waters. Okay, so you're less worried about that quote. Because it was, like, pretty spicy on Twitter, and everybody was like, well, what are we doing here?
No, but that's because the people on Twitter haven't talked to Jeff Blair.
That's true.
As to why that was. That's the advantage that we have. We bring on guests who know what they're talking
all right,
about.
Good then.
And Blair made it seem pretty clear that, hey, this guy, they're never going to address that publicly. They're never going to say one way or another what's going on. And to me, there's just absolutely no way Whit Merrifield isn't playing in Toronto. He posted his goodbye message. Mm-hmm. He's gonna play. He's gonna probably get the shot. I just don't. I thought it's funny because like I saw his quote yesterday where he said he's excited about being in Toronto and he understands what it means to come here. As read between the lines, he knows. What he has to do. Like, okay. I would have been more calm after yesterday.
Okay.
I think that's good to hear then. Yeah, I think that's
tell
a
that
zero.
To the online world.
Yeah, but the online world, you can't tell anything.
I know you don't like because, the online world sometimes.
Well, no, I like a lot of the online world. It's just that you can't be rational with the online world. There's no actually speaking to them. It's just like it's just the place where discussion goes to die and what you say, that's it. Okay, so, yeah. Nothing else kind of like that. And, yeah, the only thing with no Merrifield is that your team is just going to be, I think, a little thin for a while because we'll see what ends up happening here with George Springer. But, yeah, it's not looking so great.
Especially right after the trade deadline. Like, if this happened, like, a week or two from now, it wouldn't feel like such a slap in the face. But it's, like, truly 1 or 2 days later, you're dealing with the issue that everybody had circled as something you needed to actually fix. So it's even more of a shot because it's just so fresh. It's so fresh.
So I think the real point of curiosity for me in terms of what happens moving forward is, okay, so I didn't like the deadline. I think that's pretty clear. I think the vast majority of people have been pretty critical of the deadline. There's a small portion of the fan base that, again, hates when you trade prospects and thinks the Jays did fine. Sure, whatever. If the Jays miss the playoffs this year or they get into the wild card as not the home field team, I couldn't help watching Ross Atkins today thinking about how Charlie Montoya was never their guy, but Ross Atkins is 100% Mark Shapiro's guy. Whether or not those two will just always be a package deal. Mm. Like, who would fall on the sword next? Would they already feel as though Charlie was enough? That they would try to move on from John Schneider?
I don't think so.
I know.
Look at his debut,
I mean,
was just like that that 10-game stretch when he took over the team. Like, I think that was pretty proven that they had faith in him and they liked him as a team. Mm-hmm.
No, I totally get it. Mm-hmm. I just, all I could help think was, well, there was a lot of criticism about the front office at the deadline. And it doesn't matter how you judge their inactivity. The inactivity ended up happening, and a lot of people around baseball confirming what we had been saying for months, which is this farm system is not highly regarded around baseball. That once you get past the top couple of guys, it's a whole lot of what have yous. And if you try to explain it away with there have been promotions, well, again, every team has promotions. Some aren't as good as some of the guys the Jays have, but that also hasn't left a lot of farm systems completely depleted. I do wonder where the blame will fall and where that will materialize.
It's funny because that's kind of the parallel what the Leafs are dealing with this season too. It's like if
Shanahan and
yeah, Bruce are they a package deal? Like, is one able to stay and like, you know, worst case scenario, they don't get past the first round again. Who does the hammer fall on? Right? It's kind of a Toronto-esque feeling right now that mm-hmm. you have people that are been in the role that they're in for quite a while without the success that people have anticipated or expected. And if it's a continuous feeling and no results, it's like, it's an unsettling decision if people are going to stick with their mentality and run it back and run it back, right? So something might have to change. Tough decisions might have to be done. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm excited to see Mitch White. I hope that he's good. I know Blake Murphy's really high on him. I know that some other people have been pretty high on him as well. I'm curious to see how long or how deep he's going to be able to go in ball games. He certainly has pedigree, so it's always fun to watch a new pitcher, and especially one that is going to get a real opportunity, a real shot here. Mm-hmm. I think you see Kikuchi pitching well two times in a row. We've seen it before, but I haven't seen him work out of a jam in a while. He did that twice. I'm really quite confident in that. So yesterday, loss, but some wins too. Anyway, let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's do the A-list. What do you got today?
Oh, the greatest sport in the world is making its return in 2023. You want to know what that is? Stay tuned. It's the A-List next.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Show Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Baby Friday. It's Friday if you're JD. You also have a long weekend next weekend. God, living the dream. I'm learning from the vet.
I got news for you.
You got more coming?
I got news for you. I'm gonna. This is the time. This is the time to take it off, right?
Yeah, like, you're right.
Post deadline. I like working pre-deadline, even though I did take that break during All-Star Week, but yeah. What, you guys need to hear from me every single day on just after every single Jays game for 3 hours? That seems like an aggressive amount of time. I'll tell you what. I'll do the A-list shower, all right? But I'm not doing these three. I'll do that.
You get to come on at 9. And I'll do the A-list showers from 6 to 9. Yeah, that's
bingo.
Fair trade-off.
Yeah. We're about to hit the wall, right? Like,
would it be nice if Kadri signed or like gave us some news? Like, what's going on in the NHL? Cricket.
I'm so happy he hasn't signed.
Really?
You are. Yes, of course. See, again, this is where you're still just a rook. I sometimes forget, you know, you're still in your rookie season. You want to have Kadri sign the third week of August when it's just dead out there.
Okay.
There's nothing going on. We've had the Blue Jays trade deadline stuff to sustain us, you know, rumor season, insiders, whatever the hell you want. Now reacting to the deadline, 2-day process, right?
Then what?
Exactly. And then what? Whatever the Rogers Open is now called?
The National Bank Open.
National Bank Open,
which
correct.
I'm going to see in real life. That's the most exciting thing.
Tuesday. Monday or
that's
Tuesday.
That's when I'm going on Tuesday. Don't go the same day as me.
Wow. Okay. Sorry. I didn't realize that, you know, the stadium was too much of a...
It's too much.
Too close to quarters for you. I didn't say come by where I'm going to be or come hang out. Wow, that was insulting. I don't know how I can continue. That's kind of... That kind of hurt.
Too bad.
I'm also going to the next Looney Dog Day because I need to test myself.
Okay, that's good news.
No. You don't get to try to suck up to me now again. Like pretend like we're friends. Oh, that's... I'm interested in your life. No, whatever. Let's just do the A-list. I'm over it.
Okay.
Now, it's time for...
Hey, yo!
The A-list.
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
Sup, baby?
All right, the best sport in the world. You said you didn't know the story. It was all over yesterday. That's fine. Mason Gordon, the founder of Slam Ball, which is basketball mixed with football and MMA on trampolines. Just the greatest combination of things. Announced that the sport is returning in 2023. Here's a clip.
This is the 20th anniversary of Slam Ball's national television debut. 20 years ago today, Slam Ball burst onto the television landscape, and we pressed a button in the culture that was never really unpressed. There have been all kinds of people clamoring for Slam Ball to come back. There's been hashtag bring back Slam Ball media viewed over 200 million times in the last 12 months. So I'm ready to announce that next summer, 2023, Slam Ball is coming back live, and there's going to be a ton of details to come, lots more information. There's going to be a fire hose of updates. So lots and lots of additional information coming your way. But Slam Ball's back, baby.
Slam Ball's back, baby, and some of the reasoning behind this, I mean, 20 years.
That sounded corny as hell, dude.
Yeah.
That sounded corny.
I mean, I think he was reading some buzzwordy things that he wanted to say.
The whole thing. Yeah, all right.
Okay, so some
but
of the
reasons. Slam Ball's back, baby.
That's right.
Back, baby.
Baby. So this is some of the reasons why, though, which I think are accurate. He said, Slam Ball just kind of fits the bill right now. They're 20-minute games, television half hours. People obviously have gravitated to the action, basically saying that nobody has an attention span long enough to watch three-hour sporting events.
I love that we're just giving up on attention spans, by the way. Like, that's just a thing that
that's
we're doing
now. That's out the window.
It's just, it's not, hey, we should be concerned about this, don't you think, that we can't focus on, nobody can focus on anything for more than 10 minutes without looking at their cell phones? And it was like, nah, let's just get
let's
shorter
stuff.
Let's
just change the world and we'll just accommodate that.
Instagram's like, we're not even doing pictures anymore. We got to just keep
videos,
a stream coming
you guys
of
are
small little videos.
So dumb.
Little pea brains. It's like, okay, we're just all down for this, huh? We're just down, down, down. Nobody's worried. Nobody's concerned. We're all just rolling into it. Got it. Okay, cool. So Slam Ball is the future because we're all a bunch of pea brains that can't even look at screens for more than 30 minutes uninterrupted without looking at our smaller screen. Got it. Okay, cool. Good sales pitch. Got it. Humanity stinks. Slam ball presentation. They got it going on up top, and they're just like, hey, here's slide one. Dum-dums. We got a lot of dum-dums. We'll love this. They're stare at it. It's happening. It's fast. It's over quick. Dumb. Go back to their next screen. All right.
Did
slide
you watch
two.
Slam Ball?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And again, made me feel like a whole piece of garbage because 20-year anniversary, and I remember Slam Ball. I don't want to remember Slam Ball. I want to be young and say,
like me?
Oh, what was it like?
Like, I watched only highlights and stuff now as it, you know, it resurfaces on the internet in those grainy videos. Well, and I'm like, that looks cool. What's this thing?
Here's the thing about Slam Ball, though. This is the dirty, rotten truth of it all, is that we all just really watched the highlights. It was something that you threw on if
spot, right.
Like, we were all just crushing Spike TV for a hot minute here, all right? I've told you before, my favorite all-time show, Scrappers, just New York dudes just ripping up construction sites for scrap metal and talking in New York accents, being dirty and greasy and yelling at each other.
Wait, is that a real thing?
Yes, electric show.
Scrappers.
Bring back Scrappers over Slam Ball is what I say. I love Pros versus Joes. I really did watch that. That truly was my favorite. But have you ever read the behind the scenes with Pros versus Joes about it?
No, what is it?
It's like crazy. It's insane that they did this show. You think about it through a modern lens, they were having just these dorks show up. They would say, and they'd have them show up at like 11 o'clock at night, and these athletes would be all over the map. One guy would show up one time. It was crazy. It was poorly produced. It was very hectic. It was chaos. And they'd have these guys who they called Joes who had basically no athletic accomplishments for the most part. They were very – it was few and far between where you actually went, oh, this guy could have played college. It was like, no, they literally went out and got the Joeyest of Joes.
Did you get asked to be on the show?
No, I was like 12. So
you fit the criteria.
Yeah, now I would fit the criteria. They'd be like, hey, this guy's 5'10" and he's kind of soft, so let's bring him on in here and see if he can rebound with Kevin Willis. You know, no. But these dudes would come in there, and then the producers would be telling them, hey, go tell Roy Jones Jr. that
he sucks.
Yeah, I want to use a different word, but you can all guess the word that I was saying. And they would be egging these guys on, and the Joes would be thinking, oh, this is all part of the bit. But the athletes were not in on the bit. And so they would go out there and try to whoop up on these dudes as best as they could. And it was just sanctioned violence. There are many episodes of that show where somebody gets bleeped up. Like they get jacked up on that show in a lot of different ways. In a lot of different ways.
Well, Lloyd from Guelph just texted in saying, I love slam ball, but so many broken ankles.
Well, I'll be honest. I don't care about that. If you want to play slam ball and you get hurt playing slam ball, who cares? I don't know. That's what the money's for. That sounds kind of cold, but yeah, it's slam ball. What, you're going into it thinking, oh, it's just what's the number one thing that hurts kids? Trampolines, right?
Oh, I've had some trampoline injuries.
Yeah. Any family that owns a trampoline knows that you're just sitting there with a just circular lawsuit, like burning bad grass into your backyard. That's all that is. So obviously, if you get a bunch of bros who maybe played NFL, NBA, where they're going to hit each other on the trampoline, injuries are going to happen. So no offense, but if your first thought is slam ball, oh, I hope they don't get hurt, you're a baby. Grow up, baby. This isn't for babies, all right? Slam ball is this is for grown adults.
I'm looking at sports that need to come back. So
I'm excited for slam ball coming back. I just think that this is one of those things where it's better left in our memories, and it's better left in our hangouts going, man, why don't they do slam ball? Why don't they do slam ball when you're like five Bud Lights deep? Rather than it is actually like, throw on the slam ball game. Let's watch some slam ball. No one's going to watch it. People are going to watch highlights. And people are going to go, ooh, when someone gets hit, and that'll be on Instagram, and that's it. That's where you'll see it, is if there's a sweet dunk and you'll be
there
for
like 10
minutes.
Well, it's all about the short attention spans. Those clips are going to go viral.
For a couple of days. I don't think it'll last because it's stupid. It's grown men jumping on trampolines, dunking on each other, and smoking each other. But yeah, it's fun. It was fun. And it was a cool idea. But I think slam ball is a sport where if it was a little bit safer, it would be just the best thing to play with your buddies.
I was just about to say, you have to draft from Sportsnet personalities who you want. No, I don't know how many people are on the teams. Like, is it
no
ten,
one. Everybody
eight?
Here is sucks.
You've got to pick someone.
Who would I pick for slam ball? You know who I'd pick? Michael Grange, because he is
notoriously
dirty. Yeah. Well, first of all,
notoriously dirty?
Yeah.
Grange.
Second of all,
sweetheart.
No. See, that's just a misperception.
That's part of his facade, eh?
No, he is. Here's what Grange is. He's a good guy. There's no doubt. He's a good guy. But he is not a sweetheart. He wants – Grange sees a dude with his face trying to get too close to him, and all he wants to do is put his elbow in that guy's face. Yeah, see, he dreams about it. I think Grange stares out his window and just dreams about just, violence. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. I'm telling you, you play sports with Michael Grange, and
we got to get him on the show.
And he's there to create some havoc. He's there to throw some bows. So, yeah, I think Grange would be my choice because he's tough, he's tall, he can hoop, and he's nasty. So he's gonna. I think in slam ball, part of the goal is, hey, let's outlast the other guys. Let's be the team less hurt. And Grange would be stoked on that. So Michael Grange is my first overall pick in the slam ball draft. He's not one of my dunkers, though. He's like a peripheral player. He's the dirty cheap shot artist that knocks down the open. Dirty cheap shot artist that knocks down the odd Jimmy is what I'm choosing Grange, number one.
Do you think I'm going through the list of our Sportsnet. I think, obviously, I would pick someone
honestly,
with some athletic history. Jennifer Botterill,
no.
Maybe?
But this is
she'd
the
be
thing.
Too nice.
No. This is the problem with sports and slam ball team. I don't think that there's like eight people at the company who could dunk a basketball even with a trampoline. Okay? Like I don't think we could put a game together. They gotta lower the rims in slam ball for the Sportsnet team. So not good.
Wait,
not a good look.
Austin just went in my ear and said Barker. Elite choice. That's my first overall draft, no?
No chance. My Grange run team versus your Barker run team is
we'll have to make it happen. We got David Amber, Adam and Guelph texted in.
Yeah, David Amber would be a good choice.
Colin and Barry says Barker would be slam ball champ. See?
Oh, Okay, yeah, I think you guys are nuts. Barker's not doing it. Like, he's wearing Miller boots. He's not, you know, he's showing up to the court. He's showing up to the court in his Miller boots. All you guys who chose Barker would be like, what are you doing in those boots? He'd be like, I'm here to get that leg swinging. And you'd be like, no, dude. So, Barks would not be high on my list.
Oh, that's good.
Sorry,
okay.
Barks.
Text in your Sportsnet first overall drafts, please. Okay, that's Slam Ball, baby. Slam Ball's back, baby.
Slam Ball's back, baby. All right. Again, okay. Better left in the past, in my opinion,
all right.
But we'll see.
We'll see. Well, maybe we'll have to do some Slam Ball breakdowns in the middle of summer in the dead of August. Okay.
When you're working.
I'm working. I'll get some Slam Ball champs on the show, on the Ailish Hour.
Pre-tape me. I'll do a pre-tape interview with you from
okay.
Poolside.
Okay. I don't want to. That would be. You'd definitely be tarps off. All right. This happened yesterday, and it is stunning. Just stunning baseball. The bottom of the third inning yesterday, Yordan Alvarez steps up to the plate with no outs, and the Astros are leading 4-0. He takes a first pitch. It's a ball. Great. He takes the second pitch.
Great.
A strikeout right down the middle of the plate. Okay. He swings at the third pitch of the at-bat. And fouls to move the count to 1-2. Mm-hmm. On the fourth pitch at the at-bat, he catches the Red Sox pitcher catches the top left corner of the strike zone, seemingly striking Alvarez out. However, the umpire didn't ring him out, just kept the bat kept going.
He didn't ring him out? He just decided, hey, I'm not going to just chew.
He totally just miscounted, and the at-bat continued, and he gets a fifth pitch. And it becomes a ground ball, and he's out. But the umpire, the pitcher, the batter, and the catcher, and the fans and the broadcasters did not notice that he had already gotten three strikes, and he ends up with four at the end. Nobody noticed this. In professional baseball in 2022, you're missing the three strikes you're out rule, which is iconic. There's a song written about it. We can't even get that right. Four strikes for this guy. I've never seen something so much that you would want your robot umps. I just thought of you immediately.
So maybe it's because I'm a contrarian and it didn't happen to me or my baseball team in a big spot. I think it's kind of fun that this happened. I think that this is the case for no robot umpires.
Switching teams.
Okay. When a call goes against my team,
if that happened to the Blue Jays
in a meaningful game and there was a result that hurt them, but the fact that ball don't lie, he's out anyway, right? If Altuve scored,
he gets a home run, something.
Maybe I'd have a different opinion on this going, shouldn't this be the most reviewable of plays because it's conclusive? Hey, he would have definitely had it if they called four strikes. Why not be able to do that? But because it didn't happen, I'm not saying I want this to ever be done intentionally, but there's something fun about that.
He's obviously at the plate and he knows, like, somehow I just got away with another strike. Like, he's just like
Jose
quietly
Altuve,
like,
mm-hmm. Jose Altuve is like, finally.
No, this is,
they're just letting me cheat.
It was Alvarez.
Whoops, sorry. But an Astros player was like,
classic.
Yes. We are used to this kind of treatment, which is the rules not applying to us. Anyway, I go back and forth on robot umpires because I cannot. You know what bothers me more about anything with umps is the whole, like, you can't come out of the dugout and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay in. The call is the call. Or that Angel Hernandez gets to just be an umpire in perpetuity because of their union. Or that they'll just toss a player for arguing with them because they're so sensitive and they don't think about how everyone came to see the baseball players, not you. So that bothers me more than guys missing balls and strikes. I think if we went to robot umps, it would actually be a huge mistake because you would end up hating the robots anyways. There would be times where I believe the robot would still screw it up. That every once in a while, like, a strike is a strike that isn't technically right there, and a ball is a ball that, you know, there can be situational things. There should be a bit of a human element. Plus, you know what's awesome? hating on refs and umps.
Yeah, we all do it. What would the sport be without that?
Yes, they're all just our whipping people. Like, they're just all our whipping people for any one of us that wants to do it, and it's completely unchecked. You say anything about any team or any player, and there's always going to be some crybaby who either says you're a homer or you're negative or one of the two. Umpires? Nobody sticks up for umpires. Nobody sticks up for referees, except for, like, just the referees.
Yeah, I was going to say, except for people that are, like, little league refs that are like, it's hard.
Yeah, guess what? You're not an equal citizen with the rest of us, okay? You're there. You woke up and you decided, I would like to get money to state the rules. And we went, that's cool. Thank you. We need you, but you get less rights. We get to say whatever we want to you. So that's the breaks. I'm pro keeping umpires. Just think it should be easier to get rid of the bad ones and think that there should be more accountability, just like there is in any job. It shouldn't be a position where just because it's hard and people don't like us that you should be able to be open for criticism. If a coach bitches about you to the media, I don't think that the coach should be fined. I think that should just be the way it is. Do your gripes.
You're right. I'm surprised. That you were just always team robot.
Ironically, umpire. For an umpire, for me to want them to stay, it's for them to be more robotic with their feelings.
It's true. okay, hold on. There's a lot to text in about who would be on our SportsNet Spikeball team. Cole says, JD knows Ennis would put him on a poster.
Yeah. This guy wanted you to read that?
Yeah, and he wins.
He was like, he knew that you would read such a stupid thing to put a poster. Yeah. Oh, I'd be so afraid of the like worst athlete at the fan.
Worst athlete.
No, I'm dead serious. He's the worst athlete at the fan. He has no athletic bone in his body. He's been playing golf his whole life, and guess what? He sucks.
Well, golf's a hard one. Come on.
Yeah, but he's brutal. He's awful. He said over and over, he's never gotten even a little bit better. He broke his ankle playing disc golf.
Well, that's funny because the text says, I'm taking Ennis so I get a front row seat to watch him shatter his ankle.
Oh, my God. I don't even think it's that fun. I've never seen anyone airball a three as hard as I've seen Ennis. It made it halfway. I brought him to one pickup run, and guess what happened? He shot a corner three, and it made it halfway to the basket, and that's not even a lie. I'm serious. That's not a lie. It made it halfway, and it sunk, and I went, was that blocked? And everyone was like, no, he just is noodle arm weak. He's just got nothing on it. He couldn't jump, didn't bend his knees. It was terrible. He did try hard, though, I will say. He was running around out there, didn't know what he was doing. It was pretty embarrassing
for me. I wish there was footage of this.
Oh, my God. No, you don't. You'd be sad. It would change your opinion of him. It would be sad. It would be all he's known for. Anyways, what other texts do we have?
There's some good ones here. Multiple people saying, Anthony Stewart, how are you guys not picking Stewie?
No, too slow.
Too slow? But you're on a trampoline. That has nothing to do with slow.
Yeah, listen, if he times it right.
He's got the momentum.
Yeah, if he times it right, you're not going to feel good.
Yeah.
But he's got to time it right. I'm better than Stewie.
You think you're better than Stewie?
100%.
I don't know if he's up listening at 6:45, but he's always listening.
The correct answer to this is that it's me. I'm the best slam ball player that we have.
Here we go, of course.
Think about it. Who's shooting? It's there. Only person at Sportsnet that's a better shooter than me is Brad Fay. That's it. The only guy I went to a billion Sportsnet pickup runs. Only better shooter at Sportsnet is Brad Fay.
All right.
That's it. He's lights out. He's the Steph Curry of Sportsnet. He keeps the title. It is what it is. Like, Brad Fay's such a good shooter that I actually had to pick him up from, like, half court. He's that good of a shooter. He's deadly. So he's the only shooter. But you're talking about, like, mixing still some strength, the ability to lay a hit. You just saw videos of me on my Instagram.
You might be too light, though. Like, you're bouncing as little baby bounces.
Wow, okay. You know, ask the guys in the mosh pit how they feel about me being too loud. I throw the body around, okay? A little bowling ball, right? I'd be absolutely cooking dudes.
A bowling ball?
I'm dirty. I'm a cheap shot artist myself. That's why I see
you have good trash talk.
100%. And I would throw down.
All right. You'd be in the top four selections.
Honest to God, not top four. Number one. And there's not even another choice. There's not even another
choice. What about Kevin Bieksa? Because there's lots of those texts in.
Oh, I guess if we're counting Kevin Bieksa.
Oh, he counts.
Well, yeah, no, he would count because here's the thing. I don't know. I would, my guess is BX has never shot a basketball, like maybe one time in his life. No, I don't think so. I think he's maybe thrown like paper out of wastebasket. That's the closest he ever got to hooping. But yeah, BX is still in great shape and he punch your lights out. There's no doubt about it. And I don't know. Just the physical element, I would still. Plus, it'd be cooler to have BX on your team. You'd go, yeah, hey, Kevin BX is on our team. And you'd go, that's so much cooler than.
It'd be fun to have mic'd up, you know, like slam ball mic'd up.
Yeah, he'd be good.
Okay, before we take a break, multiple Alvin Williams texts.
Alvin's like a mercenary, though. It's like sometimes he's back in the NBA. He's coaching. He's doing his own
thing.
That's
illegal. Fine. Is that right? Like, no. He can't be in our league.
No, if he's eligible, then yeah, you got to put him on the squad. You just got to do it. Yeah, you got to do it. Like he's number one. They're correct, right? Like they're those guys are right. Whoever tweeted that or texted that, you're correct. Yeah, Alvin is the top choice.
He nailed it.
But again, like, does Alvin Williams want to go to the rack? He's made. Here's what you got to think. Alvin's a millionaire. You know, like these people have millions of dollars in the bank. Do they want to try to go to the
rim?
Well,
that's not part of the criteria for drafting.
Yes, it is.
No way.
Yes, it is.
Get my broke ass on this team.
That's exactly. I need a team full of dogs. I need hungry dogs.
You're right. Hungry dogs that want that prize money. You're right.
I want hungry dogs, and I want hungry for glory. Those guys don't need glory. They're professional athletes. They've done the damn thing. They don't need to relive glory here. That's just not it. Do I trust that Alvin wants – these guys are all talking about broken ankles. Do I think that Alvin's going to go out there?
You're right.
Or do I think that he's going to take a page out of his buddy Vince Carter's handbook and go like, oh, I'm hurt actually, and he doesn't play for you? Just saying. Anyway, let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk to George Springer's former manager, Bo Porter. What are the rest of the people around baseball saying about the Jays' quiet deadline? And how does this impact this team's manager? And what even is managing in 2022? That's all next with Bo Porter, former MLB outfielder and manager and he works for MLB Network. It's really weirdly written in our doc. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
But slam ball's back, baby.